This is the Janet Murray Show, episode 287.
You're listening to the Janet Murray Show. Tune in every week for practical marketing advice that will help you make more money in your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
So in this episode, I'm going to be talking about how to create premium offers that will help you generate more income for your business. And this applies to you whether you have a product-based business or a service-based business. So before we get to the main part of the show, I just wanted to remind you about my membership community. It's called the Love Marketing Membership, and it's currently the most cost-effective way that you can work with me. So just to give you an idea of how it works, so when you join the membership, if you join as an annual member, then you do get a 20-minute induction call with me. So it's not compulsory to have the call, but I advise that people do it. And I can meet you, I can find out a little bit more about your business, and then give you a steer on how you can use the resources in the community. So if you join, you'll get access to a full library of resources on every single aspect of promoting your business. So blogging, email marketing, social media marketing, how to get press coverage, how to get traffic to your website, Facebook advertising, you name it. If it's to do with promoting your business, I will have a resource on it, either taught by me or delivered by an expert, because I do bring in regular experts to deliver classes in the membership. We also have a weekly office hours call. So it's a drop-in call every Wednesday afternoon. You can come along and you can ask me a question. We also have group challenges that we work on together, and we have our own community space. We have a Facebook group that we use, and we're in there chatting every day. I'm in there every day chatting to members and helping out with their challenges. Now, I've recently revamped the membership because one thing that I really feel about marketing, it's easy to get into this habit of just kind of doing marketing as an activity and being there on Instagram and doing your thing and blogging and doing some email marketing, but not actually getting any results. And the thing about marketing is it's not an activity that you do when you have a bit of spare time. It's the lifeblood of your business. It's how you actually make money. So what I've recently done is revamped all of the content in the membership so that it's tied to income goals. So if you go inside the membership, you'll see that I've arranged the resources so that you can see exactly what you need to do to get to key income goals in your business. So 1K a month, 2K a month, 5K a month, 10K a month, it's all organized around those activities that you need to be doing. If you just want to search by topic, that's absolutely fine. But if you're somebody who, and I think we all have this, that we have goals that we want to earn in our business, if you're somebody that is working towards a particular income goal, I think you'll find it really, really helpful just to kind of see that all laid out in black and white. So if that sounds of interest, I'm going to be opening the membership for new members in early September. We've got a waiting list going at the moment, but if you'd like to get on the waiting list and make sure that you are amongst the first to hear when we open up the membership, then I'll put a link in the show notes. It's called the Love Marketing Membership. And now on with the main part of the show. If you listen to the show regularly or follow me on social media, you'll know that I go to the hairdressers a lot. You may also know that I have a blow dry at a hair salon at least once a week, and more on why later. So last week, I found myself in a bit of a conundrum. So I had a really, really busy week last week. There weren't many gaps in my diary. But on the Thursday, I had to be in London because in the morning, I had a one-to-one consultancy with a client. So I had a half-day session with a client. In the afternoon, I was hosting a pop-up afternoon tea meetup with my community. And the problem was my hair was an absolute mess. And I was looking at my diary and thinking, I'm just not sure how I could fit in a visit to the hairdressers here. But I don't want to turn up on Thursday with really, really bad looking hair. I knew people would be taking photos and things like that. And I thought, oh, I just really, really want to get my hair done. So I had a bit of a brainwave. So I Googled hair salon, Liverpool Street, because that was where I was going to be on Thursday, 7 a.m. And I looked to see if I could find a hairdresser's that would be open before my appointment. In fact, in plenty of time before my appointment on Thursday morning so that I didn't have any stress about being late. Lo and behold, Rush Hairdressers, they popped up in Google as being open at 7 a.m. I gave them a ring and they booked me in, and I had my hair done at 7 a.m. on the Thursday morning. Now, this involved getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning, being on the train by 6, but it was a great experience. It was nice and quiet, and the lady did a really nice job of it. And I felt completely stress-free because I knew there was no chance I was going to be late for my meeting because I was having my hair done. I had plenty of time to then go and have a coffee and get myself together for my meeting. And I was really happy until I got to the counter and the woman said to me, that will be £51, please. And I was like, right, okay. So I gave her the £51 and I gave a tip as well. And just for a moment, I felt, I winced, you know, I kind of felt that kind of little dip that you feel in your stomach when you pay more for something than you're used to paying. But by the time I'd walked out of the cafe and gone along the road to prep for my meeting, I was feeling fine about it. So just to put this into context, I usually pay £19 at a local hair salon. So I paid like over 50%, 60%, probably more than I normally pay. So why was I feeling okay about it after a few minutes? Why had I forgotten about that a few minutes later? Not because I'm outrageously rich or not because I don't care about money, but because it was convenient, because there wasn't another gap in my diary. I really needed to get my hair done because I have had these meetings. It's important to me that I looked nice. So on that occasion, I was willing to pay a VIP or premium price. I also recognised that I had gone to the hair salon in out of hours, really. So 7 o'clock is pretty early to go to hairdressers. The lady who did my hair had to get up at 5 a.m. in the morning. So I was able to rationalise that decision and say, well, actually, I was paying for a premium service. It was out of hours. It wasn't the normal time of day that you would go to the hairdressers, or certainly not where I live. It was the only hair salon that I could see. Someone actually later told me that there is another salon that charges less near to where I was. But when I Googled, they came up in Google. So they got my business. And it seemed to me when I Googled, they were the only hair salon that were open that early. There were some that were open at 8, but I paid more for the one that was open at 7 a.m. So it got me thinking, that experience, and I actually shared it on my Facebook page. It got loads of engagement. It got me thinking about VIP and premium services. And actually, it's been something that I've been thinking about for a while. It's been something that I've been planning an episode on for a while, because I certainly try to integrate it into my own products and services. So it seemed like a really great opportunity to create this episode. So while I was thinking about this, so as I was walking away, having handed over my £51, I was thinking about some of the other things that I pay for, which I would regard as premium or VIP services. So things that I pay for that actually are pretty expensive for what they are, but I pay for them because they solve a problem for me and they're convenient. So one example that came to mind was my Ocado Smart Pass. So I pay £10 a month, I think it is. I have my groceries delivered every week by Ocado, and I pay £10 a month for this smart pass, which means that I can book a delivery anytime I want and I don't get charged for it. Well, I do get charged for it because I pay my £10 a month, but I could have 8 deliveries a month if I wanted to. And sometimes I do actually have more than 4. Sometimes I have less than 4, but I pay for that convenience of just knowing that that's paid every month. So another example that came to mind was my priority pass. So I have an airport lounge pass. I travel a lot. And if you've traveled a lot on planes, you'll know that it can be quite exhausting sitting around in airport lounges, especially if your plane is delayed and you're moving from Starbucks to Starbucks or restaurant to restaurant, and you're trying to find somewhere to plug in your laptop or your phone. So I decided that I felt it was a good investment. I think it's about £350 a year that I pay to have an airport lounge pass. That means I can generally go into most airports. I can go into an airport lounge for free. It means I can find somewhere comfortable to sit. I can plug my laptop in. I can plug my phone in. You get food while you're in there, free alcohol, generally quite a good deal. And again, it might feel excessive, but when I'm traveling and I've got work to do, I can probably get a couple of hours work done in one of these airport lounges. That feels worth more to me than saving a fiver or something by sitting in prep or Starbucks. And, you know, we all know if you go to an airport, you might end up spending, I don't know, £10 in prep or Starbucks or something like that, especially if you're having to move from cafe to cafe. But I think, well, actually, it's worth it, £15 a time or whatever it works out as, just to have that quiet space, to be able to plug in, be able to go to the loo and not queue up, even have showers, a lot of them. So for me, it just feels like an absolute no-brainer. And of course, a lot of this is down to values. You might be thinking that's an outrageous thing to spend your money on. You know, money for me is all about values. You might tell me about something that you like to spend your money on, and I might think that's outrageous. We all have our personal values and what we think is worth it when it comes to our money. But I think the key thing is that most of us have things in our life that we would pay a premium for the convenience, because somebody is solving a real problem for us. And I think as business owners, we ought to be thinking about how we can do that in our own business. It just feels like it's silly not to do that. So what I want you to do, this episode feels like just the start. I am going to give you some examples of some premium offers that you can make to your customers. But it feels to me like this is just a starting point. I mean, I like to see myself almost as like a sort of student of marketing and sales. Like everywhere I go, because obviously I'm a customer every single day in lots of different ways, I'm looking at how people are marketing to me. I'm looking at how people are selling to me, and I'm getting ideas. So what I want you to do is to start tuning into, you know, what are some of the things that you pay a premium for that convenience or for that access or exclusivity? How could you create something like that in your own business? Could it be adapted? Could it be tweaked to something that could work for your customers? So I just want you to get really attuned. I'm not expecting that you're going to get to the end of this episode and be ready to go with this. It feels like this is a process that you're going to go through, but I certainly think that you'll have some ideas as a result of what I'm going to share. So when it comes to VIP or premium offers, I think there's three key types of offer that you can make. So the first one is it addresses convenience. The second one is access. And the third one is exclusivity. And I'm going to break them down for you and give you some examples for each. So let's start by having a look at convenience. So the hairdressing one really was about convenience. I was happy to pay more to have my hair done in that salon because they could see me at a time that is kind of out of hours for hair salons. And it was convenient for me. It meant I wasn't going to be late for my meeting. I could relax. I was not going to be stressed. That felt like, you know, a really good convenience offer for me. So here's a few examples for you. So if you have a product-based business, so let's say, for example, that you make handmade clothes. Now, you might get asked to do a quick turnaround for somebody, and you might get asked, you know, I know you normally turn it around in 7 days. Is there any chance you could do four, or any chance that you could do, you know, 24 hours or whatever it might be? In the past, you might have found that you just do that for your customers. You shuffle things around and you do that as a favor. You really should be charging a premium, and that should be your premium or VIP service. So yes, if somebody wants to wait for 7 days, 14 days, whatever your turnaround time is, then that's standard. But if they want a quick turnaround, then they need to pay for it. And that's something you can implement really, really quickly in your business if you make things. The other thing that you can do, which is very easy to implement, is to look at your delivery time. So if people want something delivered fast, so if they want an express delivery, if you have products that you don't have to make, but they just, you know, you just, people just want them in their hands quickly, then again, you can charge a premium for that. For the, you know, obviously it's not just about the postage. When somebody orders something and they want it quick, I mean, I once did this as a favor for somebody just before Christmas, but somebody got in touch with me, and it was when I first brought out my media diaries, and they said, I really, really, really want one for my girlfriend. I want to buy her one as a surprise for Christmas. Is there any chance? And I actually personally, because I happened to be going into town that day, I went into the post office and I personally posted that diary with it, and I put a little note in it for the guy. Now, you know, we sell thousands of these diaries. I couldn't possibly do that. So if somebody wanted to order a diary and they wanted a quick turnaround, we'd need to charge a premium for that. And I think that would be fair enough. And it probably wouldn't be me going to the post office and posting it off by hand. Another thing that you might want to think about if you have a product-based business is your returns policy. So one of the things that puts me off buying things online sometimes is the returns policy. So if the return window is very short, or if it seems very kind of unwieldy and annoying to have to return it, to have to jump through hoops to return it. But if somebody says, well, if you don't like this, actually, we'll send a courier around your house and they'll pick it up at a time that's suitable to you, I'm much more likely to say yes to buying it. Obviously, there's a whole other implications there about how likely I might be to bring it back. But this is just really to get you thinking about it. So it's just really about thinking about where are the places in your business where you could really make it so much more convenient for your customers to buy your products. That's the question I really want you to think about. If you have a service-based business, so convenience could be, so let's say, for example, you're a video editor and somebody says that they want something turned around quickly, you should definitely charge a premium for that. If you ever use sites like Fiverr to get things like video editing done, or I got the voiceover for this podcast done on Fiverr, actually, but you'll see that they automatically add extra for doing things quickly in 24 hours, 48 hours. I can't remember how exactly it works, but you should totally be doing that if you're doing that kind of service, if you're not already. If you're a personal trainer and you're working with people who are looking to lose weight or to get themselves in better shape, you could offer things like meal plans and shopping lists for your clients. That would be a VIP or premium service. If you're a stylist, then you could look at something like online shopping. I often think, as a speaker, there's a service that I would love from a stylist. So when I'm speaking at an event, I might have a very specific idea that I want a dress and I want it to be a particular colour. So in my case, it might be red. And it could take me hours searching online to find 10 red dresses for my shortlist in the right kind of shape and size and whatever. I would consider paying a stylist to do that research for me and then sending me a list of them. And so you could look at something like that. So it really is just about being creative, thinking about how could I solve a problem? How could I save somebody time, save them hassle, save them money? If you deliver training, I know that that's quite a common activity that my clients do, is they deliver training or consultancy. So you could offer something like a refresher. So when somebody books in with you, you could say, well, it's this price, but if you book my gold package, you get a refresher session in 6 weeks, and you also get a resource pack that I put together personally, and I handpick all my best resources that are going to help you to implement over the next 6 weeks, something like that. So have a think about that. And lastly, if you run a holiday cottage, I'm thinking of one of my clients here, Sarah Morton. One of the things that you could do, she's recently just implemented a really great email sequence for people who book into her holiday cottage. She actually made, I think, an additional £2,500 in bookings just from implementing this particular sequence. But when you book into Sarah's holiday cottage, she sends a sequence of emails where she starts telling you about the things that you can do at the cottage and which restaurants that you can book into and which are the ones that you won't be able to book when you're there and you're staying. You need to book beforehand, where you can find wine, where you can find nice food. So it's a really kind of nice guide to getting the most out of your stay. Now, one thing Sarah could do is almost offer a concierge service and then offer to actually make the bookings for you or do the shopping for you. I stayed at a holiday cottage a little while ago where you could organise a food delivery. There's all sorts of things that you could do to make it a really VIP premium stay. And I think Sarah is just starting to look at that now. But again, this is about getting the ideas flowing. So the second type of premium or VIP offer, I think, is usually relating to access. So people will pay for exclusive access. And some of these do cross over a little bit, I think you'll find. So if you have a product-based business, so let's say, for example, that you're an artist or designer, you could put together some kind of private viewing for your customers so that they can come along and have a look at your new collection before it launches. If you run a shop, then you could have some kind of VIP evening where people get to come and look at the new collections before everybody else does. And this is quite a common thing that even the big retailers do, I think. And just to give you another example, if you've got a product-based business, so Amanda, one of my clients who has Books and Pieces, so it's like she's an online bookseller. She's created a kind of membership where if you sign up to a monthly membership, you get 3 books. She picks them out for you every month, and she also sends activities that you can do that go alongside those books. So I think that's a VIP or premium service. So it doesn't matter what you're doing, there's always a way to do it. And I think the best ways that you can do it is to become a student. So when you're out shopping, when you're shopping online, look at how people are making premium and VIP offers to you, and you will be flooded with ideas. So if you have a service-based business, here's how you might provide access. And this is something that I do a lot. I always think about everything I offer. I think, how can I offer a VIP or a premium level? So if you come to one of my live events in London, so we have standard tickets, but we usually also offer mastermind tickets. So the day one of our events run from 10 till 4 p.m. and we have some amazing speakers at our event. And then from 4 to 6, we generally run a mastermind session. And that's where just 8, or sometimes if there's demand, we push it to 10, but just 8 of the delegates get to stay behind. We have a separate room all set up for this, and we serve beer and wine and nibbles. And basically, if you book a VIP ticket, one of our premium tickets, then you get an extra session with the speaker. So just you, there's 8 or 10 of you at the most, and we usually have about 8 or 10 speakers, and we organise a mastermind session where you get time in the hot seat to talk specifically about your business, your challenges, and get feedback from our speakers. And that's really popular. It usually sells out pretty much by return, because people, they want that one-to-one, they want that personalised access. And so that's a really, really easy way to build that into your offerings. The other thing that you can do, if I'm offering an online course, I haven't offered one for a while, is I might offer a VIP version of the course, which involves a consultancy session with me online, or could even be in person. I haven't done that before, but I certainly could do that. Or it might be some kind of online coaching call or something like that. With our Media Diary Owners Club, so last year, we just sold diaries on their own, but we also sold the Media Diary Owners Club. So if you bought the Media Diary Owners Club, you've got 4 coaching calls with me across the year, a private Facebook group, some extra resources that you could use to get your diary all set up. So it's just about thinking, how can I make this easier for people? How can I solve problems? So with the Media Diary, one of the problems that people have is they get the diary and they're like, this is brilliant, but I could do with some help, just kind of understanding the best way to use it and get some support with using it across the year. So just thinking always, how can I solve people's problems? How can I make their lives easier? Okay, so the third type of VIP or premium offer you might make is around exclusivity. So people will pay to have exclusive access, or they'll pay to have access to something that isn't going to be around forever. It's only going to be around for a short time, or there's only a limited number of something. So you can have a think about that. Here's some examples for you. So if you have a product-based business, then you could look at offering some kind of limited edition product. So it's only going to be around for a time, or there's only going to be a certain number of them. So just to give you an example, so Ruth Oldfield, who has Coffee and Kin, so she sells coffee pods. I did an on-air coaching episode with her back in episode 286, and that's exactly what she was talking about there. She was talking about doing a coffee and chocolate subscription that will be available in the run-up to Christmas, with the idea that people could buy that as a gift. So that would be an example of a limited edition offer. If you make clothes, and actually one of my clients, Ali Ribchester, and I did on-air coaching with Ali on episode 276, we talked about how to use your personal stories to sell your products. But if you make clothes, for example, and this is something Ali's thinking about right now, is you could offer to do some kind of special limited edition version of it. So I've seen pajamas, matching pajamas for mum and daughter, or mum and son, or mum and baby, or whatever. And Ali's thinking about doing something along those lines in her own business. Ali's in my mastermind, and we've been talking about this. I'm not going to give it away, but she's been thinking about something like that. So could you come up with some kind of limited edition version of whatever clothes or whatever jewellery it is that you make? And it's only going to be available for a short amount of time. You're only going to make X number of them. And that's something that Ali's thinking about at the moment. Another thing you might think about is an exclusive offer around what happens if your product gets broken or damaged. So, for example, I pay for my iPhone insurance. I pay for a higher grade of iPhone insurance that basically means that if my phone is lost, stolen, or damaged, they will deliver a replacement to me the next day, because my phone is like, you know, it's like my lifeblood. I do so much business on my phone. So if it was to get lost, broken, or stolen, then that would be a big inconvenience to me. So I actually pay extra for my insurance. So if you have a product that you know that if it was damaged, lost, or stolen, it would actually be really inconvenient to your customer, then you could charge a premium for some kind of replacement or repair service or something like that. So have a think about that. And you could do that at the point of sale. And let's now look at service-based businesses. So some ideas for exclusivity around that. So when I was speaking at the Upreneur conference last year, I noticed that Chris Tucker was selling these for platinum tickets, and they had all sorts of features with them. But one of the features was that if you had a platinum ticket, you got a free lunch, or you got your lunch as part of the ticket, and you got to eat in the speaker's room. So when I went to have my lunch as a speaker, there were not very many people, but a handful of people who came and sat down and started talking to me, and they'd obviously paid for this super duper high end ticket. Another example might be, again, if you're an artist or a designer or a maker, people love to meet artists and designers, makers, writers that they really admire. So you could look at doing some kind of VIP dinner or something like that. I've seen that happen actually with crowdfunding. It's been really, really effective. And the other thing you might look at doing if you have a service-based business, and something that I'm going to start to do, is VIP days. So if people want to book a day with you to completely pick your brains, and people ask me about this all the time, make that into an experience. So I'm looking at putting together a VIP day. It'd be great to get your views on this, actually, where we hold it at a really nice, swanky hotel, and we have breakfast and lunch and cocktails, whatever, to make it into an experience. So it's not just about me delivering the service. It's also about us getting to spend the day together, get to know each other. And that's something that I'm looking at developing in my own business. So I hope that's given you some ideas to get thinking about. As I say, this is just the start. If you've listened to these examples and you're thinking, well, no, none of these are going to work for me, don't worry. An idea will come to you. And I think it's really important just to look at, when you're being a customer, as you are every day, and I am, just look at how are people offering you VIP or premium services, and you're bound to get some ideas from that. One word of caution, though. What I really, really would advise you to do is to test. So if you've heard something in this episode and you think, wow, that sounds interesting, I'm going to get that going today, I'm going to start selling it, my advice to you would be to test. And my advice would be always to test any new product or service. Can you get 5 people to say yes to you on this VIP premium service? Can you get 10 people to say yes to you? And actually, I would probably offer it at a slightly reduced price to start off with. Maybe invite people to test your new service and your new VIP or premium service, and get some feedback and take it from there. I think it's a real danger if you get excited about an idea, you start implementing and you may even start spending money and time on something that you don't know is going to be a winner. So test it out first. I'm a really, really big fan of testing things. And some of you will know, actually, if you've been following me online over the last few weeks, I've recently revamped my coaching and consultancy packages, so my half day and my 1 hour. And I put an offer out just about a week ago, actually, to say, look, I've revamped my one-to-one hour-long Skype sessions and my half days, and I need people to road test them. So I'm offering them a really good price just for a limited time, just for a week. And I was able to then see, yes, people are definitely interested in me still offering these services because I got, I think, 15 bookings by return. But it's also a chance for me to make sure that I'm not going to spend too much time, too much resources marketing these services if people don't want them. So now I've got the feedback that I need. So a couple of episodes that are going to help you with that. So episode 184, so how to test out your business ideas, definitely worth a listen if you haven't listened to that one already. And I'd also recommend that you have a listen to episode 269, deciding what to sell at any stage of your business. So I hope you found that episode useful. I do think it is the start of your journey with VIP premium offers, and I would really, really love to hear from you as to what ideas you've got. So as ever, drop me a line on janet@janetmurray.co.uk. If you're looking for a quicker reply, social media is probably better. So I'm over on Twitter @jan_murray, on Instagram, janmurrayuk, Facebook, janetmurrayuk, and I'd love to hear how you're getting on with creating your premium or VIP offers.
You've just been listening to The Janet Murray Show. If you enjoyed the show, you can show your appreciation by leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more marketing tips that will help you make more money in your business.